Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos. I want to bring you a teaching right from the Word of God. Hope this will edify you. Here's my title today. Are you converted or just churched? Are you converted or just churched? Yeah, this comes up so often as we do street ministry. We find that many in this culture claim to be believers and believe in Jesus. Most of them go to church, man-made building-centered religious systems, but very few are truly converted to Him, thus set for eternal life to come. By their fruit, we could definitely see what's lacking: worldliness, sin, false ways, compromise. Yeah. To be churched means you go to a building, you do your ritual, denominational, non-denominational, dead religious ritual each week. But that's not converted per God's word, but that's practicing man-made false religion that Jesus said in Mark 7, voids your worship of God. So what does it mean to really be converted biblically? Let's go to the word. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, converting the soul. This is a deep spiritual work that is done in us by the Holy Spirit, but we position ourselves for it through faith and repentance. We work with God in this covenant. We need His Spirit, but we have a part to play in it. Our will must be bent towards the Father. It's not just a surface level mental assent. This is what many people have. Raise your hand, say a prayer, believe on Jesus. No, it's so much deeper than that. To be converted, it overtakes your entire being. God is a consuming fire. Have you been consumed by the truth and the word and the Spirit of God? Or are you just a Sunday churchgoer? That's the difference between converted and churched. I was recently thinking, this is how this topic came up, about how much my life and my wife's life has changed since conversion, since we decided by faith in repentance, ready, to follow and obey Jesus per His word. Notice what I said there. We had new desires, and by faith and repentance, we followed and obeyed Christ in all things per His word. We'll talk about that more in a bit, but that's really critical. So the Bible speaks of this conversion or converts. We have to grasp this, got to get it right, or we're going to miss the main part of the Christian faith, and we're going to miss eternal life. Psalm 51:13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That word converted, shub, it means to turn, to come back to, basically to repent. It's very similar to the word repentance. To be truly converted in Christ is to be made new, to be made different by His Spirit, by faith and repentance. We turn from sin and all false ways. This is how the conversion process happens. And then we live different than the culture and churchianity and everyone around us. We become an alien. We become a pilgrim. Jesus said, you'll be hated. We're not like the world in any way. This is what happens when you're converted. There's a conversion. There's a big change in your life. This is all really just stemmed out of the gospel. Faith in Christ's perfect blood work, His resurrection, repentance to Him. By the Spirit of God, you'll be born again, converted, made new. And then the fruit is holiness and obedience as you're striving for the kingdom of God in all ways, enduring to the end. That's the gospel. And this conversion is laced all over it. And it's all because of Christ's perfect work. We can't do it on our own, can do nothing without Him. But that Psalm verse I read to you has these verses near it. Verses 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken, contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. So think about that. What God really wants, he don't want your church attendance. He don't want your couple hours on Sunday or Wednesday night. He don't want you dressing up special and showing up and doing some religious ritual show. God wants us to lower ourselves, to pull down our flesh and our false ways, to humble ourselves so he can lift us up by his spirit. That's what he's looking for. And this is the trading, this is really important, this is the trading of the corruptible, our flesh is corruptible, and we trade it for that which is eternal and incorruptible by his spirit. That's the conversion. That's the converting. Does that make sense? To be converted is to be broken in our spirit, humbled, lowered, meek, willing to obey God's word in all his ways. And then you strive to live according to him in holiness, not your ways, not churchianity's ways, not the culture's ways, how you live, act, talk, dress, spend your money, all those things. It is not a mental ascent, raise your hand, say some prayer, just believe. No, it is so much, much more to be converted than to just attend church services. That's not biblical conversion at all. That's how false converts are made. We're talking about biblical conversion here. This conversion, it's a turning to righteousness from sin. It's critical. And without it, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Isaiah 1:27, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. You got to turn and seek righteousness, or you're not going to see the kingdom of God at all. You're not going to make the kingdom of God. Let's move on to the New Testament. It tells us about converts and conversion, starting with Jesus. Matthew 18:3. And he said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty famous verse. You got to become like a child. But it also says you got to be converted. Converted in the Greek, strepho, same thing as the Old Testament. Turn, change, reverse, very close to repentance. We need to change our mind, which leads to a change of our heart, which leads to a change of our actions. God acts and gives us the Spirit via the gospel when we place our faith in the work of Christ. This is how we're going to gain the kingdom of God. You don't gain it through church attendance, through going to a building, through doing rituals, through practicing pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. It's not how you're going to gain the kingdom of God. John 3 says we must be born again, Jesus said. That is a true conversion by the Spirit of God. And if we read Matthew 7, we know a tree by its fruit. This is why I can tell you the church people are not true converts. We see their fruit. They're worldly, they're feminized, they're compromised, they're keeping false ways. They don't honor and love and obey and study and keep all of God's word. That's the fruit of a false convert. Let's keep reading. Jesus again, Matthew 13:15-16. For these people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest any time they should see with their ears and hear with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Did you catch that? So we either see and hear the truth and are converted in our hearts and our minds, all by God's Spirit, of course, or we're going to remain dead to it. We don't hear it. We don't see it. We're dead in our sins. We're lost. Even as we practice man-made religion, Catholic, Lutheran, Church of Christ, Mennonite, Anabaptist, Mormon. Go read Matthew 7. Jesus says, away from me, I never knew you. These are people that were never converted, but they did a bunch of religious works. Yeah, go read that. So most people that we meet in the streets doing ministry, going to events, going outside churches, they claim Jesus and they fall into this group. churched but not converted. The conversion that's required involves forgiveness. Mark 4:12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You got to be converted before your sins are going to be forgiven. Otherwise, you're just dead in your sins and you're going to be lost in eternity. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is going to be what is your fate. Now, the scriptures tell us that God even withholds conversion from some. John 12:39-40. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. See, this is a heart issue. Going to church is not a heart issue. Keeping the culture's ways and religious ways is not truly a converted heart. This is about your heart and your mind being converted and made new. And that's only made possible by Christ. He makes it possible for us to have salvation and new lives. But here's a fact. We have to position ourselves via our will, our actions, our repentance, our turning of our mind, our conversion towards God and towards the Spirit. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you, God says. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see how God works with us. He doesn't do it all for us. He calls us, then he works with us as we work with him. Let's go to the book of Acts, Brother Peter, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. See, they're very close. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Again, it's needed to be forgiven. Repentance, conversion. It's a turning away from and turning back to God. Turn away from our ways. Turn to God's high, holy ways. Changing our mind. This is what God requires. And then God sends his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, remember at the beginning of this teaching, I said faith, and then we have to follow and obey. How critical that was. Yeah. To truly be converted, it means we follow Jesus and we obey his ways. It's far more than just that mental belief. It's far more than just water baptism. It's far more than church service, church membership. No, it's a total commitment and allegiance to follow, total surrender, to lose our lives, Matthew 10, and to obey Christ, John 14, John 15, and to follow the one who made a way of eternal life for us, for those who obey him, Hebrews 5:9. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us into all truth, John 16. That can only happen when we turn our minds and our hearts towards God in conversion and repentance, desiring all truth. You see the pattern here. This is not something that happens on Sunday morning. This is something that happens every day of your life, like a marriage. We're in a blood covenant. It's every day with all of our actions and all of our ways. Most of the people I'm talking about, they're just believing in Christ, but they're not converted. They're not born again. By their fruit, we can see they're lacking much. They're not striving to love God, to follow, to obey, as Matthew 22 calls us to do, with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength, in the book of Mark, it says. Finally, Brother James talks about it too. James 5:19-20. This is a little bit different conversion. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So right there, what that tells us is we can be converted, and born into God at one time. And then there's times that we need to be converted and turned away from our sin, even if we know God. I mean, we all can fall into sin, right? We don't believe in sinless perfection. So James is telling us that if you go into sin and you convert your brother, you've saved a soul from death. That's you turn him from it. And this is another part of following Christ. We don't live in willful sin. If we fall into or choose sin, we turn from it as fruit that we have the Spirit inside of us. And many churchgoers have this very wrong. They think it's say a prayer, get water baptized, go to church, and then it's just a one-time act. Salvation's done and guaranteed. No, not at all. Just like repentance, conversion is not a one-time act, but an ongoing practice and process that we walk in and stay in the light of Christ to be cleansed. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us. You must keep converting. You must keep repenting. You must keep turning from sin, false ways, and your flesh. It's an ongoing process. Brother Jude tells us, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We got to keep ourselves in the love of God. We got to strive. We got to work it out with fear and trembling, Paul says. So if we truly are born of God and we sin, we got to turn. We got to repent. Got to change our mind about it. We got to be converted from it. That's God's high holy ways. His people don't live on in willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 says there's no sacrifice if we live on in willful sin. So the fruit of a true saint of God versus just a churchgoer is they are always daily striving to obey, flee sin, walk in holiness, keep righteousness, keep every false way away from them. And if and when they do sin, they strive to convert, repent, change it, to be cleansed, to then go on to be forgiven, but not living on in false ways. Churchianity people constantly tell us, I'm a big sinner. I live in sin. Yeah, I keep a bunch of false ways. That is not the fruit that you're converted. When you're converted, you hate every false way. You want truth and righteousness and goodness and holiness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, truth, righteousness, Ephesians 5:9, is the fruit of a converted person's life. So if you live on in sin and you just practice churchianity false ways and you don't really care and you're not bothered by it, you're not convicted, you're not seeking truth and righteousness and holiness, that's the evidence you're not converted at all. You're just a churched person. You're not a converted child of God. So I hope this teaching gets you to ponder your own state. Most people are in that false conversion state. Are you converted truly by the Spirit of God, by the gospel I just preached? Are you set on his kingdom, all of his ways, in righteousness and holiness, walking for perfection? Or are you dissatisfied going to church and then living like the culture, which really sets you for the wrath of God that's coming? Ephesians 5, verse 6. But let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon children of disobedience. Yeah, think about this. To be truly born again, repentive, and converted means you obey God. To walk in disobedience onward and ongoing and willingly, you are a false convert, or you're rebellious against the one who shed his blood for you. Either way, it's going to mean destruction for you. So I would encourage you, repent, turn from your sin if you're a child of God. If not, repent. Truly be converted. I know what it means to be converted. My wife knows what it means. Brother and I know what it means to be converted. Have you truly been converted? This is what's so dangerous about the church systems. They give you a false sense of security. They pretend like you're a Christian. They put band-aids on your sin and the cultural false ways when you really need to flee the church systems. That's what I would tell you to do. I don't know one biblical one. Flee the church systems and cry out to God. Walk in all spirit. Walk in the truth as fruit that you've been converted and you truly know him. Go test yourself. Are you truly converted or are you a false convert and just churched, deceiving yourself, set for the wrath of God to come? I hope that blesses you. Love you much. Check out don'tperish.com. We give you all kinds of resources to help you become a true child of God by the gospel and not a false convert set for wrath and destruction. Love y'all, and may God be praised.